my memory brethren and sisters have allowed me to go to the car, and for those who are interested, I have the two books here, Herd of the Chaldees, and the Holy Land and the Bible. In the Holy Land and the Bible, not only is the cave of Machpelah, but you can also find Hebron, which of course is one of those places that's going to be important as we go along. And also, although of course not as old as the one that Abraham sat under, an oak tree, just showing you, brothers and sisters, because I like trees, and the oak tree, as you know, is one of those wonderful trees that we like in England. Slow growing hearts of oak. I'll let you fill the rest out. Now, can I just go back, please, to the 12th chapter? Just two points that I want to mention, brothers and sisters. The one is verse 16. A brother mentioned to me during the coffee break that according to the law of the Egyptians, that maybe that it was Sarah who came out with more than she went down with. Now, maybe the answer lies in the fact that the prince is also a Pharaoh. Pharaoh, verse 15, the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And then if you notice verse 16, and he entreated Abraham well for her sake. So it looks as if that is the case, and therefore Sarah came out of Egypt, apart from Abraham, of course, a rich woman as well. It has also been a nice touch. That one sister said to me that even though he did badly, he was rewarded, brethren and sisters. That's a difficult one, isn't it? You wouldn't have thought so, would you? But in the purpose of God, you see, it all makes sense, doesn't it? Now, the other little point that I want you to note, because in a moment we're going on to, they brought more out than silver and gold and the rest of it. I want you to think about camels. And you might say, brother, I'm not so strange. Well, it'll figure. Believe me, it will figure. And they came out with chariots and camels. The Lord plagued Pharaoh. He was sent away, and all that he had. Now, verse 13 opens with those words, went up out of Egypt. Remember the parable? Where did he go down to? Jericho. Where do you go up to? Correct. Here, same thing. Down to Egypt, back up into the land of God. And verse 2 says, and Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. Now, I don't think, brothers and sisters, we've any idea how rich this man was. And I don't think also we've any idea about what he owned with all his cattle and with all the stuff that he brought out of the land of Egypt. And also, of course, what else did he bring out of the land of Egypt? What? I can see you well here. That's very good. Absolutely right. See, so there is a purpose, isn't there, in going down into Egypt, because Hagar is going to figure greatly, really, in the life of this old faithful shepherd, prophet, faithful man of God. She is going to figure in his life. And when you think, brothers and sisters, and I'm not going to ask you this, I suppose I will ask you to think about it. Three women in the life of Abraham. There's one that doesn't get a mention much, but she's there, brethren and sisters. And she's the one that he married a little bit later. Keturah. So what about these three? Three different nations, I'm going to suggest. You mightn't like that either, but I'm still going to suggest it. Because I think there are. Now, I don't know whether any of you have heard Brother Martin Hughes from Watford. God, there's somebody here from Watford. on a subject about the nations. It's absolutely superb, brethren and sisters. It really is. And he shows there that from these three women, it's not my only from Martin, I can tell you, that these three women became three nations, which again, brethren and sisters, I believe will figure in the end when who? Israel, Assyria, and Egypt will be a third. And it's amazing how it goes back to this very man and the three women that he married. But perhaps a little bit more of that, I'm jumping ahead here. But that's just to make you think during lunch or whenever it is, whatever you do. That's for the side at the moment. So he comes to Bethel, verse 3, unto the place where his tent was at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. Unto, notice this, brothers and sisters, the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord, I've got a little note there, as before, because that's important. Wherever he builds an altar, brothers and sisters, he calls on the name of the Lord. That is wonderful, isn't it? Now, altars feature a great deal in the life of Abraham. As we go a little bit further in, brothers and sisters, we shall see, I believe, an altar which is not mentioned. I'm going to mention this so that you can think about it now. In the time when Melchizedek comes out of Salem to meet Abraham on his way back from the battle of the kings. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. Do you think, therefore, that Melchizedek had an altar where he worshipped God in where? Salem. That's only a thought. If he was the priest of the Most High God, would he not have an altar, brother and sister? Would he not offer upon that altar? And therefore, maybe, when we look at that, even though it could be very briefly, but Melchizedek is a subject on its own, but when we look at that, we'll just have a look at that, just to see if we can perhaps tie that up a little bit more. But that's, again, for the future. So he comes back to this altar, brothers and sisters, where he was in chapter 12. Now it would appear, therefore, that all this time previous was wasted. Ah. What I mean by this is this. While he was down in Egypt, brothers and sisters, there is no mention whatsoever of Abraham worshipping God. Do you think he did? And do we? Now, that's a very good question. That's a searching question, brethren and sisters. You see? Because sometimes we are away from our place of worship. You know what I mean by worship, in inverted commas. What do we do? I'm going to have to tell you that Sundays away from Dudley is different. Or even Bournemouth is different, where I'm going to be on Sunday. Because I will be at the meeting place, won't I? With my God. And so therefore, when we are in Egypt, do we worship our God? It's just a thought, brothers and sisters. I'm not placing any judgment whatsoever on what we do. But it's just a thought while we are away. And you might say, well, Brother Alan, we're never far from God. And you would be right. We're only a prayer away. That's all. That's close, isn't it? That's closer than a phone call, brother. A prayer away from God. But as to whether we break bread and drink wine in memory of his son, he's something else. Do this in remembrance of me until I come. That's a command. When we're not, I'm going to suggest that that commandment is not adhered to. Just a fool. Exhortation is wonderful, brothers and sisters, isn't it? Especially when he takes me in. Because that's the point. Otherwise, it doesn't have any effect, does it? So it needs to be self that goes through the ringer, as it were. Verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now there's an indication to what his nephew had when he came out. Have you noticed he's not left him, by the way, brothers and sisters? Oh, he had the courage to come out from his father's house, but Lot, you see, needed a crutch, brothers and sisters, as we would say. And he needed his uncle thus far, didn't he? Why did he decide to go the other way when Abram came out of Ur of the Chaldees, do you think? He relied on the old man. Well, you would, wouldn't you? And he did. And he goes down into Egypt with Abram. And not only did Abram come out, rich brothers and sisters, I'm going to suggest that while they were down there, he came out with flocks and herds and tents. And the lady was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. I have no idea as to the vastness of their flocks. No idea. It must have been huge, brethren and sisters. Vast, I would say. And notice this throwaway line again. Verse 7. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. They're there again, you see. No empty possession, brethren and sisters. It was already possessed. Every time and everywhere Abraham went into a land that was already possessed. Isn't that strange? No wonder God said to him, all the land that thou seest, though it's possessed now, I'm going to give it to you, what for? An everlasting possession. Oh yes, everlasting. Not just now, Abraham, you can't get empty now. How lovely, isn't it? Here we have no continuing city, brethren and sisters. We just seek one to come, don't we? Same thing. And so, he had nothing, the Perizzite and the Canaanite in the land, and there was a strife. And Lot said, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. I love this. For we be brethren. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Where, brethren and sisters, is this said again? Close. I haven't looked at that one, so maybe you're right. Just come with me to let me just Acts chapter 7. And verse, that cannot be, well, it would be right if I was in the Acts of the Apostles and not Luke, wouldn't it? Acts, where am I, 27 did I say? Acts chapter 7, and verse 26, well done. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren. That lovely. And they were, weren't they? The difference between this one, which is Moses, of course, and Lot, is that they were blood relatives. Weren't they? So in two cases, brethren and sisters, on that occasion, they were brethren. Now I've got a little comment which I'd like you to listen to with regard to this particular verse. Verse 8, I'm back in Genesis 13 now. Perhaps, and I've read this, but I like it, so I put it down, brethren and sisters. Perhaps men are blind to this truth and its deep eternal obligations. Many a wrangle about trivialities of mundane level, and many a bickering about spiritual truth of massive unimportance would have been stillborn if only this simple, wholesome truth had been written in larger capitals in home and ecclesia. Isn't that lovely? Not mine. Then perhaps greater peace would prevail. Now I think I can put a name to that. And you'd know him well. And it would be Brother Harry Whittaker. I think. Now that's lovely, isn't it? And he's absolutely right. You can just imagine, can't you? That was up on the front. We be brethren. Wouldn't it calm our troubled fears and assuage our sometimes quick tempers? It'd be lovely, wouldn't it? We be brethren. And here comes the title, brethren and sisters, of this particular talk. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, and you know the problem. And the problem here, of course, I'm going to suggest, brethren and sisters, may have been pasture and water. May have been not enough. Or maybe who gets there first? Maybe your minds are going a bit further forward, brethren and sisters, when he talks about wells. But maybe that was the real problem. Now, maybe in our eyes, brothers and sisters, that was mundane. Who's right? It is to feed the cattle first. Well, I guarantee you this. If you'd have been in the same place, you'd have come out with the same answer, wouldn't you? My right. My turn today. You've got to wait. I'm here first. I can see Christadelphians written along that line. Can't you? Yes. It's true, brothers and sisters, isn't it? Absolutely true. Christadelphians. And you say to me, but Brother Alan, we are different. In some things. And you know why that is. It's that old man of the flesh. Eats away all the time. But I like that. And so they separated. And Lot was taken in by those three things that took in Eve in the Garden of Eden. Exactly the same. Where did he go? He lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And look what it was like. Even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Now, Lot means, and I'm sure you know, one who is veiled. I've got in mind. If it's wrong, let me know. You've got it. I've got another one here. I love it, especially when it's a sister, brethren and sisters, because it means a lot to me. One who is veiled, and I like that, lifted up his eyes, you see, which he did, and he saw, you're right, he couldn't, he saw all this well-watered plain, but not what was beyond. And you know about Lot, won't you? Where he dwelt, where he went. And that's exactly what happened. He was going down as well. And he couldn't get any lower, brethren and sisters, than he eventually got. But let's just look down here. Verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and notice this, here he comes again. And they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and not dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now hear that vital word, which explains exactly the meaning of where he went. It's a lovely verse. That the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, they were already so sinful, brothers and sisters, that that other word is put in as extra. Exceedingly. It's a wonderful description, isn't it? Couldn't get any worse. And we shall see that they couldn't, brethren and sisters. And then there comes to Abraham the reiteration of one of those promises that had been given to him earlier. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. What a promise, brethren and sisters. But he was never to see it. Oh, he did some walking. No doubt about that. He says so. And Abraham removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. How many have we got, brothers and sisters? Hold on. Three. This is his third altar. Hebron. Notice where they were. I haven't got there yet. Now, sister, I like keenness. That's what I call a step in front. Hang on. Right, and then we come to this problem here, brethren and sisters, where there was this war. Now, I don't know what you think about this. I believe that in these days there were giants in the land. And I also believe that Abraham, when he journeyed from Ur of the Chaldees, you must remember that as he went through all these lands, I'm going to suggest that he became friendly with some of the inhabitants of the land that he passed through. Now, you would have to be, wouldn't he? You don't go into somebody's land and, well, you can do, if you want to, make war with them. That wasn't Abraham, was it? And he must therefore have had passage through these lands wherever he went from these people. Now, you can trace back some of these people through Scripture, I think, into the giants that existed. If you go back to the days of Noah, it says, memory serves me correctly, it doesn't often come, brothers and sisters, there were giants in the land in those days, and then it says, and after that, and sometimes you put that, and after that, with the rest of the verse. Don't. Separate it and say, there were giants in the earth in those days and after that. And it was totally different, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you a suggestion, it might be true. But there must have been giants in the land, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, I've got problems with the old chap from Philistine, haven't I? Goliath, you see. And so, therefore, I think that these men were giants, brothers and sisters. Or at least some of them were. And some of these were confederate with Abraham. In other words, he'd taken some of these to be on his side. Now, there's good reason for that as we go on a little bit. Now, some of these had joined themselves, you see, one with the other, and they served this man, Chedorlaomer, for 12 years. They were under his domain. And then, here's the clue to the giants. Verse 5, and in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth Karnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emins in Shabar Kerathaim. Now, brothers and sisters, who was one of the descendants of the Rephaims? Well, could be. I'll give you a clue. Bashan. Correct. What did he have? Correct. Now he is related. Now please don't ask me to go through all this, brothers and sisters, now. But he is related to the Rephaims. He was one of them. And I've got a little note here that says all these were giants in the land. Now, I also believe, brothers and sisters, that this Chedorlaomer was a strategist because of the way, in actual fact, he'd come down from the northeast. And by doing that, brothers and sisters, he removes all in order. If you have a look at verse 5 and 6, and then to verse 7, he removes all these. Why do you think if this man from the northeast had come down into this particular land here, where now Abraham is dwelling? Now there's an ingredient in the land, brothers and sisters, that is absolutely essential. And you use it every day. Close? Correct. Salt. And so they came down, I believe, for salt. I don't use any myself, brothers and sisters, not anymore. It sort of levels my blood pressure up when I don't. And if I do, so they came down for salt, brothers and sisters. All that is what I have read, and that is an important ingredient. That's an address on its own. Salt, absolutely wonderful. Why? Because if it's lost its favour, brothers and sisters, it's no good for absolutely anything at all, is it? No good. But salt is very important. And so they come down and they defeat, brethren and sisters, those of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they took all their victuals, verse 11, and they went their way. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe that Lot was an already important person in the city of Sodom in this time. Why? Because they took him captive. They took him away. Not only him, brethren and sisters, all his goods, and I'm going to suggest everything that he got. Now if he'd come out of Egypt, brothers and sisters, with all that great stuff that he had, there was a lot to carry away. But he did. And there came one that had escaped, verse 13, told Abraham, here we go. Number one. Who? Abraham the Hebrew. In other words, word ever. Here he is. This is the man. Where is he dwelling? Look where he's dwelling, brothers and sisters, and look who he's dwelling with. The Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, the brother of Anah, and these were confederate with Abraham. Now I'm going to suggest that he dwelt with them. Wasn't separated from these men. I believe he dwelt with them, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because I don't think that Abraham, when he went to collect Lot, went on his own. He took these that were... You don't mean to tell me, do you, that 318 men, plus Abraham, is going to defeat all this army? No. There's more to it than that, brothers and sisters. He took with him all these men. When Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Now, I hope I've got this right. If not, I can blame Brother Harry Whittaker again. He suggests, brothers and sisters, that here was the first tank commander. Isn't that lovely? Not with tanks,
What with?
Camels, brother and sister. Camels. Oh, yes. Camels. And what about these armed, his trained servants, born in his own house? Now, you think of Abraham as a shepherd, brothers and sisters? Or a herdsman? Well, that's a bit different, isn't it? He was commander of his own private army. How does that fit on your shoulders, brethren? How does that fit? Absolutely essential for these days. You're not talking about today, brothers and sisters. You're talking about then. It was absolutely essential for the times. So here was this man, the father of the faithful, with an army privately trained by his side, that was now going to rescue Lot. Is blood thicker than water, brethren and sisters? Usually. Oh, yes. I know sometimes the truth cuts across these things. I have to tell you, it's difficult to let go, isn't it? Oh, yes. And here, you see, he was away. He was going to rescue his nephew. Do you know how far that was? About 120 miles. Riding a camel. Yeah. That does make you smile, brethren and sisters, doesn't it? I don't know if you've ever been on a camel. Yes. I wouldn't say that they were the most comfortable animals in the world. But here they are, you see. With all these men. And this is quite clever. This shows an armed man, brethren and sisters. Oh, yes, he does. Verse 15, he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night. How about that? Warfare in the middle of the night. And smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. I've got a little note here. This is planned, strategic, and executed with precision. If the attack was under cover of darkness, they would have to be organized, disciplined, and tactically superior. That's true, isn't it? And you might say, well, that's all right, Brother Allen. The Almighty was with them. The Almighty might have been, brethren and sisters. But it required that Abraham, with his army of 318, plus all the rest, went up there and delivered Lot. And brought them back, brothers and sisters. All the goods, his brother Lot and his goods. And notice this bit. And the women also. I like that. I do. It's a mention, sisters, you see. Because you're not forgotten. Now, and I mean that, now I'm serious, brothers and sisters. You see, there's a word that says, and he called Abraham alone. He didn't. Did he? Not when he came out of the earth and called Egypt, he didn't. Who was with him? Sarah. So you can see, brothers and sisters, how the purpose of God is involved, not with a man, although that's true, but with a woman as well. And it has to be. And if you take that forward, brothers and sisters, so with the Lord Jesus Christ. Although not a man, of course, God, but a woman is involved. And that's how the family of God has always been. Otherwise, there was no point in Eve coming out of Adam's side. Part of, brothers and sisters. Next to his side holding. So it's all here. Abraham and the women. They're going to feature a bit. So he comes back And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedar Elmer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. You can have a look at that, brothers and sisters. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now we're into deep water here. We're into lovely water, brothers and sisters. We can't spend too much time on it, but maybe you heard all about Melchizedek anyway. Now, brought forth bread and wine. You know, brothers and sisters, there is no mention of bread and wine in Hebrews chapter 7. Where the Hebrew man deals with Melchizedek. Oh, look. I mentioned. How strange is that? I'm going to ask you. Why? I'm going to let you think about that one as well. No bread and wine mentioned in Hebrews chapter 7. Only here. Now, you and I know that this man Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without descent, not so. That's impossible. Isn't it? Type, though, brothers and sisters. Always type of that which was to come. A greater than Melchizedek, though not of the line, brothers and sisters. Different tribe. Not associated with the loins of Levi. At all. But made a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely. King and priest. You notice, brothers and sisters, it mentions king first. King first, yes. He was a king with Melchizedek in Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to suggest that because he brought out bread and wine, here, brothers and sisters, maybe, an institution of that which was to come under the divine order of things through the Lord Jesus Christ. This commandment have I of my Father. Laid down, raised again to life. In memory of me, which we shall do this week. Twice. And I'll be glad. Thank goodness, sisters. I suppose three times, really. That Sunday, tomorrow. That's unusual, isn't it? Isn't that tremendous? So here, he brings out bread and wine, and then he says, and he was priest of the Most High God. Better turn on into passages of that one. Would you come with me to Psalm 110? Lovely. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until. You know, earlier yesterday, Brother Terry asked me, when was the Lord going to return? My answer to him was, I don't know. And that's why I'm telling the truth. I don't know, brothers and sisters. What difference would it make if I did? Yeah. Would we be ready? Until I make thine enemies thy footstool, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. This is lovely, isn't it? In the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Isn't that absolutely gorgeous, brothers and sisters? You know about dew. You know about the morning. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now you know, as much as I do, brethren and sisters, that they stood daily, didn't they? They stood daily. There was no way out. And they died. And it was handed on. This man died once. And he's now resident in heaven. That you and I, brethren and sisters, might approach the Father. absolutely wonderful. Why? Because we have a high priest who has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Never forget that, brothers and sisters. Our infirmities. And if you think that nobody knows, and maybe nobody does, he does. Why? Because he's been there. That's why, brethren and sisters, suffered in all points like unto his brethren, yet without sin. That's all. One. Just one. Let's move on very quickly. Now, and then, brethren and sisters, he blesses Abraham. Look at this. I don't know whether you've got anything by that word, possess. I'm back in Genesis chapter 14, verse 19. Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. You see this man, brethren and sisters. Oh, what a man. Now, give it a woman. Blessed Abraham. Oh, he got everything, brethren and sisters. Almost. Hadn't he? What did he need, brethren and sisters? And that word possessor there is redeemer. Redeemer of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, with that delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Now I can just see now where you're going, can't you? Paid tithes in Abraham, even though he was still in the loins of his father. It's wonderful in the extreme benefit of how the apostle deals with it. And you need to read that and do it nice and gently and carefully. Now, let's come to this last little bit here, brothers and sisters. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. Ah, here is the very crux of the matter, brothers and sisters. Who did he want? The men. At all. He didn't want anything that Abraham had brought back. Just the men. Now, Sodom, brothers and sisters, not only is the lowest place on earth, but it has nothing spiritually to offer the sons of God other than the depravity which is in mankind. That's why he wanted the man. Do you think Abraham was up to that? Oh, yes, brethren. He certainly was, wasn't he? Verse 22, and Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord. Notice these words, brethren and sisters. And remember what Melchizedek had said to Abraham previously, possessor. The Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. No, brethren and sisters, he wasn't going to have that at all, was he? Save only that which the young man of it, and I love this. This is the character of Abraham. I don't want anything. Just give that which you will to the men who have been with me. My army, brethren and sisters. That is, he wasn't interested in himself. Just in the men that were with him, that had brought back Lot and the company. And he mentions them. Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Three brothers, brethren and sisters. Now, look what the names mean. Aner, waterfall. Eshcol, what do you think? Where are your minds? Where are your minds? Absolutely not. great Spencers, the greatest bunch of grapes that were ever cut down. When they came back from the land, a land what flowing with milk and honey, and his name means cluster of grapes. And Mamre is firmness and vigour. And I'm going to suggest, brothers and sisters, that these were the three giants who were Abraham's friends. Three great men. Oh, I've got to be quick, Brother Roger, here, haven't I? Yes, he said. Right. Chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. How many times do you think that the Lord had appeared unto Abraham? I'm not going to answer it for you, because I think, brothers and sisters, that in some of these things there is a slight difference. I think sometimes the word of the Lord comes like that in a vision, and sometimes it comes in manifestation of God in other forms, in other words, an appearing rather than a dream or a vision. So here, this is a vision, brethren and sisters. And then, when I next deal with this chapter, I just wanted to come in here just to link it slightly, you see, where it says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And I'm going to ask you this question. In the words of this first verse here, fear not. Are those words indeed significant, brethren and sisters? And if so, why? Because that, to me, is something else. Fear not. That's the start. And then there is the reason. I am thy shield, which means, if you are, I am going to protect you, Abraham. And I think that that is absolutely wonderful. If you think that God is in the front, brethren and sisters, and you're behind the shield of his presence, what have you to fear? If God is for us, who can be against us? And that had already been proved in this 14th chapter here, hadn't it? With him all the way. There's just one little thing that I've forgotten about that's just come, brethren and sisters. Where did they go to fetch Lot back? Would have been far off at the other chapter, don't they? Damascus. Who comes from Damascus? Not New Testament. Thank you, Michael. You're absolutely right. Now, you see, when you look at Abraham in his life, wherever he goes, brethren and sisters, it is absolutely significant. Hagar comes with him out of Egypt. They haven't got there yet. That's absolutely significant. And so is this man, Eliezer. And you wonder if, at this time, although it could have been much earlier, of course, that Eliezer is of Damascus, a Damascene. And yet he comes into the picture in Abraham's life, brothers and sisters, which is so very important. Why? Because he goes to collect a wife from the relatives who's going to feature significantly, keep using that word, in the life of Abraham's children. And he is the one who is sent. Have you noticed a Gentile? Better understand. As I believe Abraham was. That might stir you up, mightn't it? Well, it shouldn't really, should it? Because he had to be, didn't he? And I have to tell you, brother and sister, that it's as well it happened. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a hope. Not one. And so they've always been involved. And you'll find, I think, that, brethren and sisters, they are more involved than we would perhaps assume them to be. Gentiles. I know we're Jews now. Spiritually, that is, aren't we? And our abiding place is not here, but in heaven, brethren and sisters. Just to leave you with one other thought which you might like to look at. If you'd like to contrast Psalm 110, which is the one that we've looked at, with Psalm 115. Just have a look and see the contrast in those two psalms, brethren and sisters, which might open up something else for you. Now, I think that's about where I'm likely to leave it, brethren and sisters, because if not, it's going to encroach on tomorrow's programme, isn't it, which deals with chapter 15. And that's chapter 15, brethren and sisters. Again, it's quite remarkable. In fact, brethren and sisters, I have to tell you, the more I look at this man Abraham, the greater he becomes in my estimation. And he was certainly the right man for the job. This was no mistake. This was no man who worshipped in air of the Chaldeans, brethren and sisters. Well, at least his father did. This was a man elected by God. Can I just read you, brethren and sisters, if I can just find it, about election. I can just drop on what I've got about election for you. The exclusiveness of the family of God is shown in that whilst Abraham alone was called, he was married to Sarah, which I've mentioned, which means that God's intentions of a future divine race were established here. But by him, that's God, in his time, because Sarah was barren, and the only way a new family could be born was by and through the power of the Almighty. Transferring, you know exactly what I mean. It was to be his family. That's incredible. God's family. As a perfectly new beginning, therefore, the patriarchal history assumed the form of a family history in which the grace of God prepared ground for the coming of Israel. Just keep going forward. For the nation was to grow out of the family, and in the lives of the patriarchs, peculiar election of the nations on the one hand, and the entire formation of the character and guidance of the life of Israel on the other. On these two pivots, upon which all the divine revelations made to the patriarch and all their guidance they received were made to turn. I love that. Made to turn. The revelations consisted almost exclusively of promises. And so far as these promises were concerned, only partially fulfilled in their lifetime, the fulfillments themselves were predictions and pledges of the ultimate and complete fulfillment reserved for a distant or remote future people. a faith which laid hold of the word of promise, and on the strength of that word gave up the visible and the present for the invisible and the future, was the fundamental characteristic of the patriarchs. It was all a question of faith. They believed in God. They took him at his word.